It is April 5th, happy Friday, and it is daylight savings on Sunday. We're gaining an extra hour in bed, technically, somehow. I never quite know how it works, but how nice is that? But also, how nice is it for all of those who don't change the time on their ovens or their microwaves or in their cars to possibly, once again, have the correct time displayed? Happy daylight savings to all of you. Kia ora, this is Newsable. I'm Imogen, and this is what's worth talking about. The cuts just keep coming as the public service tries to meet the government's cost reduction targets. Who is next? Cicada Geddon is about to hit the US with trillions of the insects set to emerge from the ground for the first time in centuries. Can anyone stop the Wellington Phoenix from winning this year's A-League Men's 2024 season? Plus, is flipping a coin as fair as we think? All that's coming up in a moment here on Newsable.
Newsable takes time and resources to produce. Please support our mahi and visit stuff.co.nz/support.
The news of job cuts are now emerging every few days as government ministries race to meet cost reduction targets. 134 roles are set to go at the Ministry of Health, and staff at the Ministry of Social Development have been offered voluntary redundancies ahead of a restructure next month. These are just the latest agencies, of course, forced to chop their numbers. But when will this all end for those affected? Staff's political reporter Glenn McConnell has been following all the developments and is with us now. Glenn, lovely to have you here.
Kia ora.
What's the reaction been?
The former Health Minister, Aisha Verrill, she says, if you look around the Minister of Health, yes, because of the separation with Te Whatu Ora becoming the kind of service delivery people, all of the people at the ministry are technically, you know, not front line, but it doesn't mean that their jobs aren't important. So there has been major pushback from Labor saying that we will not be able to kind of improve the nation's health if we don't have people looking for those solutions.
Are there murmurings from other government agencies about their plans? I mean, as I just said, every few days we're getting more and more information about another agency.
Yeah, expect that to keep happening pretty much right up until May 30. That's budget day, crunch time for every government department. They need to find big savings. 6.5% doesn't sound like a lot, but when you look at, you know, offices with billions of dollars to spend, that is major money. Oranga Tamariki is one I am looking to at the moment. We know that Chappie Tikani, the Oranga Tamariki boss, is actually flying around on his own dime to talk to staff about cuts that he is going to have to make soon. Those haven't been made public yet. Oranga Tamariki, a very frontline ministry. It runs the youth justice facilities. It looks after kids who need help. How will the cuts impact places like that? We still don't quite know.
And it's all well and good to say you're not going to cut frontline jobs, but it must be such a difficult thing to balance.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody has a job that's pointless, right? When you get down to it and look at each individual job, it's harder to say that is not important. Mm. Yeah, but when you look at it from, you know, the beehive's perspective, it's just kind of numbers and, you know, backroom bureaucracy is talked about a lot. But I think as we get closer to May 30, as the plans become crystal clear on how cost savings will be met, it kind of makes it a lot more difficult to say that we don't need these people.
How are those that you've heard from feeling in the face of all this cost cutting?
So many ministries, MSD for one, it's only announced voluntary redundancies so far. And then it went on to say, oh, probably we will need to do some forced restructuring later on. And that was after in February it said, hey guys, any cost saving ideas? And they decided to get rid of the tea and coffee and no more alternative milks and stuff like that. So many people there actually who I've been talking to thought that that was going to be it, that because they'd brought into it early, it meant they'd keep their jobs. Well, no. And so now they're feeling quite anxious. And I think that will be spreading across a lot of the public service at the moment, is that until the end of May, it's unclear who will stay and who will go.
No doubt we will keep learning more and more about this in the days and weeks to come. Glenn McConnell, staff political reporter, great to chat.
Thanks, Amo.
Difficult times for so many on the job front. And if you'd like to share your story with us, please do get in touch. Send us an email, newsable@stuff.co.nz. And also, if you'd like to keep up with all things Newsable, just in general, you can find us on TikTok or Instagram, search NZ Stuff. Something terrifying, in my opinion, is about to happen in the United States. Trillions of cicadas are about to emerge from the ground, numbers not seen in centuries. It's believed that the last time this happened on this scale, Thomas Jefferson, one of America's founding fathers, was president. Why, I hear you ask? Because two different types of cicadas, one that usually comes out every 13 years and the other every 17, have this year got the same cycle, which, by the way, will not happen again until the year 2245. It's been dubbed Cicadageddon, and here to talk more about this is Morgane Marianne, the host of Bug Hunter on TVNZ On Demand. Morgane, nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Are cicadas about to take over the United States of America?
Pretty much, as you said. Two of the biggest broods are emerging at the same time. The first time since 1803, since Thomas Jefferson wrote about it in his diary. So this is quite amazing.
Is there anything special about these particular two broods? Are they types that we have here in New Zealand, for example?
No, so these are periodical cicadas. So seven different species that have a life cycle that is either 13 years or 17 years. And that is the amount of time that they spend underground as nymphs, feeding on tree roots and things like that until they emerge into an adult. And then they'll spend about 4 to 6 weeks as adults trying to mate. And that's when they're really, really loud.
Mm. Trillions. Is that an accurate number?
Yeah, I read hundreds of trillions, so we shall see.
And what do cicadas do? Like, what, when they come out after being underground, you know, hundreds of trillions, is that going to have an impact on anything, any of the flora or fauna, for example?
It's going to have an impact in that the birds are going to get a very good feed.
And eardrums are going to get a good ringing as well.
Yeah, and it also means that a whole host of other critters that normally would be food for those birds will likely have a very good year because they will not be as much of a target as they would have been in previous years.
Morgane, I read that these particular types of cicadas that are about to emerge in the US in their trillions have STDs.
Yes, they've got a fungus disease that is infecting them, and it's sexually transmitted.
Does this affect them at all?
Yeah, so it affects their genitalia. The fungus grows on it, and when the males try to mate with females or even try to go for other males, because this fungus alters their behavior, their sexual behavior. Oh. That's how they spread the fungus. And over time, their genitalia actually will fall off and make them completely infertile.
Oh, someone described them as zombies as well. What? Why?
Because it just alters their behavior. So that's what we would say, they're zombies. Yeah, I've heard another term where they were called flying salt shakers of death.
Oh.
Because as they're flying around, there's spores from these fungus that are falling off and going into the soil and affecting other cicadas.
Do you like cicadas?
Oh, I love cicadas. Absolutely.
Why?
I think they're so cool. And every different species of cicadas, they do their own song to attract the females. I just think that that's just awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Bug Hunter extraordinaire Morgane Marianne, thank you for your time. Most days I'm pleased to live in New Zealand instead of the US. And today, or at least this you know, this season, more so than ever. Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Do you want another very broad question? I've got a very broad question today.
Go on then.
What do you know about sports?
Up the Wazz! Go the Black Caps. And don't forget Premier League football.
Oh, you do love a bit of Premier League footage,
I do.
Don't you? What team is it that you support again?
Oh, the current champions, Manchester City.
I think they're pronounced Arsenal. It's pronounced Arsenal.
But you know what's good about football?
Yeah, what?
They don't regulate soccer. Right?
I'm sorry? There's a sport that regulates sock height?
Indeed there is, and it's cycling.
That's very strange. Why on earth do they regulate it?
Well, I know, but if you want to find out, you'll have to listen to the Big Stuff Quiz, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that's a cliffhanger indeed. The Big Stuff Quiz is brought to you by Melbourne Every Bit Different. Will the Wally Phoenix be able to hold on to their top-of-the-table spot in the A-League men's? We will be chatting with someone who knows a thing or two about football in just a second. But to make sure you never miss that sprinkling of sport news, we love to bring you Chuck Newsable, a like and follow wherever you get your podcasts. This weekend sees a top-of-the-table clash between the Wellington Phoenix and the Central Coast Mariners. There's 3 points separating the two teams, with the Phoenix in the lead, and it's looking like they'll be able to hold on to it and come out on top in this year's A-League Men's 2024 season. Former All Whites goalkeeper and Sky Sport pundit Jacob Spoonley's with us now for Newsable Sport, proudly brought to you by Sky, your sport unrivaled. Jacob, what's the secret sauce been this year? The Phoenix have gone 17 seasons trophyless, and now they're potentially going to win one.
Oh, cue on it. I think first off, we need to acknowledge the fact that we've got maturity in terms of our football industry in this country. We're a lot more confident about what we can produce. Second, and this is the key thing, is succession. So we've got succession in terms of players. We've maintained a core of our New Zealand players as well as our overseas imports. So no one's had to adjust to the league. But succession also in terms of our coaching staff. Giancarlo Italiano, or Chiefy, is somebody that's been with the club for 4 seasons as an assistant coach. And although it's his first season as a head coach, he knows the players, he knows the system. And then finally, it's a next man up mentality. They've had to navigate suspensions and injuries, and they've done so wonderfully well.
Must be pretty good to be beating out all the Aussies as well, right?
It tastes pretty good, yeah. I've been waiting a long time for this. I think even Piney, the person I share the commentary box with, has said that he's been waiting 17 years for the team to do well enough that he can enjoy calling them in a playoffs game at home.
And things are looking pretty good for a grand final at home at Wellington's Sky Stadium. The Wellington Food Show has been postponed. It's unclear exactly the reasons why, but the timing does suggest it's because we're gearing up for a grand final. Can the Phoenix be stopped at all?
Well, I think if you talk to any football fan, We're typically fairly cynical, at times dour bunch, the Phoenix fans in particular. So they've suffered a number of false starts in the past. But we've got evidence in front of us that suggests that even when the Phoenix have stumbled, they've bounced back so quickly.
And what's the support from the diehard fans been like this season? They just must be absolutely loving it.
It seems that there is a growing core of Phoenix fans that are showing up to every home game. We only need to look as far back as the game up here in Auckland, where the Phoenix got 18,000 through the gate, which I think is pretty phenomenal outside of the Warriors in this country. I don't think any other sports club is getting that sort of numbers in to support them. So that was actually bigger than the aggregate number that all of the other A-League home teams got on the other side of the Tasman. However, I think Wellington perhaps needs to show out and support this team. The 12th man or the fans are going to be so huge, even before the playoffs. We've still got to play second, as you said, which is a top-of-table clash, and that'll be against Central Coast this weekend. But then after that, we're playing third and fourth. Melbourne Victory, the kind of traditional extended family type foe, are coming to town in 10 days' time. And Wellington, I think, needs to show up to give these boys the support that they need to get home, because they've done absolutely everything that they can on the field.
Yeah, definitely need to book my tickets. Another fairly big league we should probably talk about, the Premier League, just that little old thing. How about that battle for the top spot over there between Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City? As an Arsenal fan myself, it's been an adrenaline-punching season so far. Who do you think, though, can take it all the way this season? Is it clear enough for you already?
Oh, there's a clear divide here. There's delineation between head and heart. And I think the head is saying that this mighty machine in sky blue, there's evidence to suggest that they will not stop. They will grind out results. And I'm ignoring the fact that you're an Arsenal fan, so I'm not even going to touch on it. The heart says that my Liverpool will go toe-to-toe with both Arsenal and Manchester City. Jurgen Klopp's team have demonstrated a huge amount of resilience, and they now have the cavalry returning.
I think you're wrong, but that's okay. Former All Whites goalkeeper Jacob Spoonley, thank you for joining us for Newsable Sport, proudly brought to you by Sky, your sport unrivaled. And you can watch the A-League Men's top of the table clash between the Wellington Phoenix and the Central Coast live on Sky Sport Select and stream on Sky Sport Now from 7:20 p.m. on Saturday. I've got a bit of a scientific funny ha-ha, and for those that don't think that those things exist, bear with me here. Apparently, the old flip of a coin, but we can't settle this, so let's give both sides a 50-50 chance, ain't so 50-50 as we thought. A team of researchers from the University of Amsterdam has found that the coin is more likely to just land the same way it started. And they found this out by flipping more than 350,000 coins from 46 different countries. And the results show the probability of a same-side outcome to be 50.8%, which is basically just a 50-50 chance, is it not? The 0.8 means technically we can say the coin is more likely to land on the same side it started on. That's a bit silly, isn't it? And also the researchers completely forgot to factor in here that the rule when it comes to flipping a coin is tails for whales never fails. That's Newsable for today. I'm Imogen Wells, and I hope your day just got at least 0.8% better, hopefully more, but hey, we now know the weight that 0.8% can hold.
Was this episode of Newsable usable? Then back NZ News by making a financial contribution at stuff.co.nz/support.
If you don't have time to read the in-depth stories, or you just prefer to listen instead, the Long Read from Stuff is the podcast for you. Each week we showcase one of our excellent pieces of journalism, telling important or entertaining stories from the world of crime, sport, history, culture, and more. You also get to hear from the journalists themselves about how they uncovered the story and how it came to life. So, for your weekly dose of long-form journalism, beautifully read, subscribe to the Long Read from Stuff wherever you get your podcasts.